Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The U.S. Census Bureau releases the list of the fastest growing cities in the United States. USA Radio's John Clements with the details.
Sarah Gibb is a statistician at the U.S. Census Bureau. She tells us about the new number one.
It is Georgetown, Texas, with a growth of a little under 8%. It displaced San Marcos, Texas, which was previously the fastest growing city in the country for the past 3 years in a row.
Georgetown is part of the Austin-Round Rock metro area, which crossed the 2 million population threshold for the first time last year. Gibb tells us Texas was home to 5 of the 11 fastest-growing cities in the nation. I'm John Clemens.
Walmart reports a higher-than-expected quarterly profit. The retailer saying that sales rose, sending its shares up nearly 10%. Sales at U.S. Walmart stores rising 1% during the quarter, higher than market expectations. Protesters in Paris upset about new labor reforms. USA Radio's Russ Jones explains that water cannons and tear gas were used to calm the violent crowds.
Truckers blocked intersections. Thousands took to the streets in protest to government reforms. Reforms intended to make it easier to hire and fire employees in an effort to correct a bad economy and an all-time high unemployment rate of 10%. France has a strict 35-hour work week, and unions are threatening if the reforms don't cease, more strikes and more widespread demonstrations. I'm Russ Jones.
And this is USA Radio News.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the 5 mistakes you're making that are blocking your success, the 10 things you could be doing that could be killing sales for you. I'll have 6 highly effective negotiation tactics to reverse that trend, and how small business owners feel nationwide about a minimum wage hike. It's Thursday, May 19th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington, in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well, as we can only do on this program, which airs every Thursday at this time. It's called Taking Care of Business. Before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows that it's currently 62 degrees under partly sunny skies at 12:05. And today it'll be partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and a high of 72, a low tonight around 47. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 77 and a low of 52. Saturday, we're going to have rain in the morning, becoming more steady in the afternoon with a high of 64 and a low of 50. And for Sunday, we're going to have cloudy skies with showers in the afternoon, a high of 69 degrees and a low of 51.
Taking care of business, every way we be taking care of business. It's all right, taking care of business.
I do want to apologize for missing last week's show. As I mentioned the week prior, I was on my way, road trip, heading down to North Carolina to pick up my younger son, Colin, at college on the campus of UNC Charlotte. So my wife and I hopped in the Rambler and headed down out 78 to 81 to 77. Just so many highway numbers anymore, I can't even remember. We were in the car for like 9 hours to get there, and then another 9 hours back home 2 days later. But I did have a chance to stop by the NASCAR Hall of Fame in Charlotte, which is something that had been, if you will, on my bucket list for some time now. And just a tremendous venue if you like stock car racing, if you're a fan of it, if you like the history of it, tons of history in there. Got to see those who were already enshrined. They had a very unique display that anybody who likes racing, I think, would appreciate. There's I can't remember the title of it, but there's one section in the main lobby where it looks like a racetrack, and they have several race cars from different eras. And on the ground, it will tell you the degree of banking. Now, at Talladega and at Daytona, the banking is 33 degrees. And you really don't appreciate it when you're watching it on television. And I don't think you necessarily appreciate it when somebody tells you how steep 33 degrees is. But they have these two platforms that you can stand on and then put your feet on, and now you're at 33. You would not be able to walk up a 33-degree bank anywhere for any period of time. But the early pioneers of NASCAR and of racing said that the banking was necessary basically to keep the cars on the track. And so it was very unique to get that perspective of, you know, at that speed, you know, how the banking comes into play. And so you start out with like a 2-degree banking, which might be the backstretch of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on into the corners of Daytona at 33-degree banking, and just an amazing feeling. But great exhibits, a lot of interactive things, a lot of history and memorabilia. And one of the fun things was as we were walking around, we got to a section where they were showing some of the Winston Cup trophies. And there were a couple gentlemen there together. And one gentleman said, "It's a pretty impressive trophy, you know, the Winston Cup trophy, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Have you ever seen one before?" I said, "I actually see one every day. I have one in my office." He goes, "Get out of here." And I told him the story of how I got Jeff Gordon's Winston Cup trophy from his third championship back in 1998. Had to have someone from my office send me a picture of it so that, you know, I could prove to him that this was true. And he was like, "Wow." You know, I think he thought I was some kind of NASCAR royalty at that point. But, you know, it was a good time. And so if you're ever in the Charlotte area, a couple things to do. First, go to the Hall of Fame. And second, I got a chance, and I don't know when I'm ever going to get back there. Did buy a T-shirt because you know, this is a favorite place of mine. And it's also been featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with Guy Fieri. But got a chance to stop into Mertz, slow cooking or slow southern cooking. And about 2 weeks before our trip, maybe 3 weeks before our trip, it was actually featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. This is a favorite of ours, but soul food, slow cooked, you know, southern food. Oh, man, it is just to die for. And for 3 weeks leading up to the trip, I'm sitting there going, "I can't wait to go to Mertz." So when we finally did it, it was great. Now I'm sitting there going, "I have no reason to go back to Charlotte anytime soon because my son is transferring to Rutgers. What will I do?" Well, when it comes to food, there's a couple things that you can do. And before I start that story, let me tell you what happens. Now, every Wednesday night, all week long, I'm compiling stories that or topics that I want to talk about. And then Wednesday night, I sit down for about 3 or 4 hours and I write the show for 1 hour today. And as I woke up this morning, suddenly everything that I wrote last night, I won't be talking about because so much happened overnight, including the crash of the Egypt airplane or now suspected terrorism on the Egypt airplane. So that's, you know, newsworthy. Then you have Clinton and Sanders still battling it out in the primaries. Trump announcing Supreme Court nominees ahead of even getting the nomination. But there was a story in my inbox today that I thought I would share with you because it does have some local attention. So there's a website called onlyinyourstate.com. And then after that web address, you put slash and you list your state. So onlyinyourstate.com/New-Jersey has ranked 14 amazing hidden New Jersey restaurants and where to find them. So it's probably first of all, it's great if your name makes that list. But I'm always looking for new restaurants, a place to go either with my wife or my family or something like that, something unique. And like I said, I'm going to miss Mertz down in Charlotte, North Carolina. But, you know, if I'm ever within an hour of it, I'm sure I'm going to find my way over there. So what's better than discovering an amazing new place to enjoy? Well, that's discovering an amazing new place that serves incredible food. And I love sharing, you know, food tips with people and restaurant tips. If I go to some place, I love to share that with you. So here now are, as ranked by onlyinyourstate.com/New Jersey, the 14 amazing hidden gems. And I'm happy to say I've eaten at two or three of these. The first is 15 Fox Place in Jersey City. The second is Claudie's Chicken in Middletown. The third is the Belford Bistro in Belford. The fourth is the Walpack Inn in Walpack. Fifth is Gourmet Cafe in Parsippany. In Dover, number six is Charlotte's Web. But number seven on the list, right here in beautiful downtown Flemington, a favorite place of mine and a great place to take your wife for a nice dinner, try to eat upstairs a little bit, or if you like to watch, you know, Matt prepare food, Matt's Red Rooster. Matt's Red Rooster Grill here in Flemington. And the way they wrote it up is, this fantastic restaurant looks like any other charming old home, but you'll definitely want to stop in. Enjoy fresh food and seasonal menus with ever-changing dessert choices. Reviewers saying walking in feels as if you're visiting a friend with some top-notch culinary skills. And Matt McPherson definitely has top-notch culinary skills. So number seven on the list of the 14 amazing hidden New Jersey restaurants and where to find them, Matt's Red Rooster Grill right here in Flemington. I hesitate to say that because now everybody's going to know about it and they're going to make reservations and I'll never get back in. It's hard to get a reservation now, but you definitely want to call ahead, make that reservation. I personally like sitting upstairs, then again, you can sit downstairs right at the kitchen basically and watch them prepare your food. Number eight on the list was the Long Valley Pub and Brewery in Long Valley. I've been there. Number nine, Seagrave Steak and Submarines in Elsinboro. This is one I'm going to try because my son is into barbecue and smoking foods now. So we're going to go to the Oink and Moo Barbecue up in Florham Park. Not sure if our friends over at SCG have been there, but if you have, let us know how that was. Monado in Little Ferry. Kitchen 519 in Glendora is number 12. Number 13 is Roberta's by Joe Muldoon in Northfield. And number 14 is another one of my favorites. It's down in Atlantic City. Very exclusive, hard to get into. It's a legendary local spot. It's been around for 100 years. Difficult to find and hidden away in a basement. But top-notch cuisine awaits you at the Secret Speakeasy. And now that everybody knows about it, for years it's remained an exclusive establishment. Reservations hard to come by. Not advertised, can't get the phone number. Luckily, I have that in my cell phone. It's a restaurant called Chef Vola's in Atlantic City, one of the top 14 restaurants. And glad to see that Matt's Red Rooster right here in Flemington also ranked as one of the top 14 restaurants. So very good news for that. And now that we have a list of the top 14, it's time for a little road trip. We got to go find us some good barbecue and other foods. And then give our ratings. But if you have any suggestions on great restaurants, maybe I don't know about, by all means, you can email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com or hit me up on our new Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and leave your suggestions there and why you think it's so good. And then I will do my due diligence. I will do my my research and go to dinner and see if it measures up to what you say. So it's all good. We're going to step away and take a break. Like I said, a lot going on in the business world. When we come back, we're going to talk about how Wendy's is going to respond to the minimum wage hikes that are being proposed across the country. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you today. Glad that I could be here and literally jumped in the chair as the news was ending. Had a customer in this afternoon or this morning, and we were dealing with that. Kind of lost track of time, so broke many speed limit laws on the way over here. And I watched as the host of the library show were leaving. They were walking to their cars. I said, man, I'm really late. And luckily they had turned on the news. So I literally like sat down, queued up the music and said, okay, let's do our show. So, but glad to be with you once again on a Thursday afternoon for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Two stories here, both regarding the minimum wage. One is a survey was done with about 900 respondents on how much should the minimum wage increase. And small business owners, you'll see by the results, are somewhat divided by that. And then the response from a large corporation on how they intend to handle the proposed $15 minimum wage. Now, small business owners are saying that they support a higher minimum wage, but they disagree on how much it should increase, according to Manta's latest poll. 51% of small business owners support a higher federal minimum wage, and of those in favor, half support increasing the federal minimum to $15 an hour, 20% support raising the minimum to $10, and 30% support raising it to $12. So here we have $10, $12, and $15 as the proposed minimum wage hikes. Now, this support may reflect the fact that many small business owners already pay their employees higher than the federal $7.25 hourly minimum wage. Now, Manta's first minimum wage poll in April revealed that 40% of small businesses pay entry-level employees far above the required minimum wages in their states. 38% pay slightly above the minimum wage, and 14% pay state or local minimums that are above federal minimums. So according to Manta's new minimum wage poll, which was segmented by industry, small business owners in the construction and business professional services sectors expressed the most support for a higher minimum wage. Small business sectors that involve professionals and higher skilled labor tend to be more progressive and supportive of social causes like living wage initiatives, says David Barron, a labor and employment attorney with Houston-based Cozen O'Connor. These sectors tend to be the least affected and can generally afford to pay more, so they view the measure as acceptable. The sectors impacted the most by higher minimum wage laws are typically fast food, retail, and hospitality, said Barron, and any business operating in a competitive market with unskilled labor will likely be negatively affected by a higher wage requirement. Generally, these sectors are better served by small incremental increases in the minimum wage because such increases are easier to pass on to consumers. Large increases are more disruptive and harder to absorb. Now, they in responding by sector, the survey respondents, 24% were from the consumer products and services, 21% from business and professional services, 12% from construction, 9% from transportation and auto, 9% from restaurant, agricultural, and food, 6% from fabrication and manufacturing, 3% from healthcare and medical, and 16% from other industries are the ones saying that they were in favor of the raise. Nearly three-quarters of poll respondents are small employers. 64% of those small employers said they would be negatively affected by a $15 minimum, while 36% said they would be positively affected by raising the pay floor to $15, as both New York and California have already done. Small businesses should begin considering how they would adjust their operations should a higher minimum wage be passed in their state or locality, but there's a potential upside too, says Manta CEO John Swensiker. The potential effects of higher wages include increased consumer spending, which could provide more business for small consumer-facing companies, and employee retention, which allows small businesses to avoid the high costs of employee turnover. Because certain small business sectors, like professional service providers or skilled construction firms, need employees with certain skill sets, they may find it necessary to pay higher starting wages to attract quality employees. As an added bonus, small business owners can ensure that they remain competitive in their industries by employing highly skilled workers, said Schwensiker. Now, the one point that they mentioned there where it would help employee retention, I don't really believe that. Yes, in the short term, if we were to raise everybody up to $12 or $15, you might see that they stick around. But eventually, they're going to start wanting more. They're going to get used to having a little bit more change in their pocket, and then they're going to want $17 an hour, $20 an hour, and the only way to do that is to find probably a job somewhere else. So a couple good reasons given as far as consumer spending and retention, but from the business owner standpoint, how does that impact you? Now, the minimum wage right now is at around – the federal minimum wage is around $7.25. Now, for me personally, most of my staff is paid in the $10 to $12 or $14 range depending on their skill level. Most now $12 to $14 per hour. If we then say, now we've got to bump it up to $15, that's an increased cost to me. Where do I make that up? You know, so in effect, I would have to raise my prices. But let's take a look at it from the fast food industry standpoint. So if you have a minimum wage employee, and we'll bump it up to, say, $8.50 an hour working at McDonald's or Wendy's or something like that, and then suddenly you double that and say, now you're at $15. What does that do to the price of a hamburger? So is a person who's now making $15 an hour going to want to spend $9 on a fast food hamburger because – between the hamburger and the french fries and the soda, of which all the costs will have to go up, now is the consumer going to be willing to pay that? Well, Wendy's kind of dropped the hammer on the Fight for 15 protesters, and they're shocking them with an unexpected move. Now, like many other businesses across the country, Wendy's has been forced to come up with creative ways to offset the cost of minimum wage hikes. The fast food chain announced it will introduce self-serve kiosks at 6,000 restaurants across the country as part of the solution to deal with the higher cost of staffing. Most Wendy's restaurants are franchise operations, and while it will ultimately be up to each franchise whether to utilize the technology, it really makes financial sense. Trends indicate company losses, and as a result, there aren't too many choices. Companies have choices to either lay off workers, close stores, or implement kiosks to help offset higher expenses. According to Investor's Business Daily, Wendy's president Todd Penegor said the company-owned stores saw price increases of 3.6% in the first quarter this year due to wage hikes of 5 to 6%. In addition to self-order kiosks, the company was also reportedly getting ready to move beyond the testing phase with labor-saving mobile ordering and mobile payment available systems system-wide by the end of the year. Now, Wendy's is just one restaurant that has begun implementing self-serve kiosks in various locations. McDonald's, Hardee's, and White Castle have also joined in on the kiosk movement to help keep their companies afloat. These are not the solutions that liberals want to hear. After all, minimum wage hikes were supposed to make life better for workers. However, like most things liberals fight for, minimum wage hikes are unreasonable, costly, and detrimental to the cause for which they claim to be fighting. Most right-thinking Americans know this, but the left refuses to admit it, as per the usual. Liberals would rather waste time and effort fighting for fairness when there's nothing fair about forcing businesses to do things that result in losing money. Companies will always look for a solution, and it looks like automation will be the popular choice for many restaurants. So What do you think about that? I had seen a video not too long ago of a McDonald's, I believe it was in California, where you walk in and using just pictures, you type in, you know, you punch Big Mac, large fry, large Coke, and then you go to the counter. So instead of having to hire a staff maybe of 30 to cover the lunch, or let's keep it at 20, you know, maybe you only need 5 or 6, someone to handle the drive-through, someone to make the meals, and then, you know, someone to just hand the bag to the customer. I think that this is what you're going to see, and it will be kind of industry changing. You know, think about the kids who are in high school and their first job is at a McDonald's, and now all of a sudden we're saying, don't need you, can't afford you, go somewhere else. Where do they go? So the $15 an hour may not be the best answer. Maybe 12, maybe 10, but ultimately, if you start forcing businesses to pay people a certain wage, they're going to have to look real hard and fast at their own costs and then ultimately what they can afford. So a whole lot of things going on in the business world today. And it's currently 12:26. You're listening to Taking Care of Business on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Taking a look at what stories we're going to cover here in like 3 minutes. So after the break, we're going to talk about New Jersey's pension deficit or budget deficit and how that's going to affect the pensions. But right now, I came across a quick story last night, 5 battle-tested Dale Carnegie quotes that all entrepreneurs need to remember. So we're going to go through them quickly, but Dale Carnegie's business philosophies have been used to motivate and inspire folks in business for years. And his famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, sold over 30 million copies, and it certainly withstood the test of time. And as you start a business, or if you find yourself in the middle of running your business, these quotes become more meaningful. He said in one quote, "When dealing with people, remember you are not dealing with creatures of logic, but creatures of emotion." We've talked several times on this program about how customers might come into your business irate, angry, and all that stuff. That's the emotion. They're not thinking logically, so you have to kind of diffuse the emotion and then move on to the logical solution. So whether you're selling products or negotiating terms, you must break down the emotional barriers to achieving your goal, appeal to their human side, and then harness your own emotional intelligence. The second quote, he said, was, "Most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who have kept on trying when there seemed to be no hope at all. Resiliency is the lifeblood of successful entrepreneurs, so when hope seems lost, that's when entrepreneurs truly rise." He said, three, "Actions speak louder than words, and a smile says, I like you. You make me happy. I'm glad to see you." So entering a room with a smile is critical in building rapport, and it encourages people to interact with you. The fourth quote was, "The successful person will profit from his mistakes and try again in a different way." Now, most entrepreneurs have had to fall flat on their faces before the right opportunity presented itself. They were not paralyzed by their fear. Number five, be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. For your character is what you are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. I like that one the best. Be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. For your character is what you are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. So a couple of good quotes there from Dale Carnegie. The last one, "The written word is meaningless without personal and professional character to back it up. One lapse in judgment can destroy your reputation." And Dale Carnegie's principles have inspired many an entrepreneur, and they teach us to break down business barriers by sharing a part of yourself. In humanizing an interaction, it facilitates a successful outcome. So hopefully, as you're dealing with people, you're not looking at them in a transactional way, but more in a relationship style, and they're going to be more willing to do business with you. I had a great conversation with a woman yesterday, and I told her, you know, when you come into our store, we're never looking at you with dollar signs in our eyes. We're looking at you as a customer, someone we want to develop that relationship with and become friends with over time. And she said, "I already feel like that," which is great, you know, to hear. But once you start assigning just, oh, it's Mr. Smith, and last year he did $25,000 with us, they're going to know that, sense that, and then they can buy anywhere. So once you have that relationship, now all of a sudden they think, you know, they could still buy anywhere, but they'd rather buy from you. We're going to step away and take a news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about New Jersey's budget deficit and what that may mean to pensioners. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong. Greek defense officials say a ship may have spotted wreckage from a missing Egypt Air passenger jet near the island of Crete. It described the objects as being two large pieces of red and white plastic floating about 200 miles south of the Greek island. The plane had 66 people on board when it disappeared. Anthony Lucero has details.
Flight MS-804 disappeared from radar early Thursday en route from Paris to Cairo with 56 passengers on board along with 10 crew members. Aviation expert Kathleen Bangs tells Fox News that she finds it concerning that the plane was flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet and made no distress call before it disappeared.
That lack of a call by itself doesn't necessarily mean anything, but with that sudden disappearance of 37,000 feet, obviously getting more suspicious. We can't necessarily point the finger to terrorism.
Contact with the pilot was about 10 minutes before it fell off the radar. I'm Anthony Lucero.
This is USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Aaron, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arnn on why Americans should study the presidency.
People should study the American presidency because it's one of the three branches of government, and it's the part that acts. And so when the government gets ready to do something to us or to our allies or enemies in the world, it's the executive branch that does it. And there's some reason to fear it these days. It's an awesome power. But in addition, there's a series of constraints on it. One of them is there's an amount of time he's got. And then he's got to go back to the people. Another is, he has to do things that are lawful, and he doesn't get to make the laws. And so a constitutional executive is a very powerful thing, operating under the constraints and for the purposes of the Constitution of the United States.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Just got breaking news out of New York. Two weeks ago, it was announced that Morley Safer was retiring from the 60 Minutes news program. News just out indicates that Morley Safer has died less than a week after leaving 60 Minutes. Morley Safer with a 45-year career at 60 Minutes. If you ever get a chance to watch the special episode that 60 Minutes aired after last week's 60 Minutes broadcast, by all means do so. It was a fascinating one-hour special on Morley's career and how he got started and how he dropped out of college, went to work in radio, and then eventually became a war correspondent and then obviously the storied career at 60 Minutes. So sad to see one of the legends in broadcasting go, Morley Safer, passing away this morning. Now, in New Jersey, we have a huge problem, and as Donald Trump would call it, it's a huge problem. But New Jersey is facing a $1.1 billion budget hole over two fiscal years, just as the state's debt and pension crisis has become dire, officials said this week. Now, if the state doesn't find the money by the new fiscal year, the budget gap could lead to cutbacks in the state pension fund and a scaling back of services and programs as New Jersey finds ways to roll back its growing debt. Don't expect an increase in taxes, though, because Governor Chris Christie, who is suffering from the worst popularity ratings among any New Jersey governor in the last 26 years, has already ruled that out. In a memo reported by politickernj.com, the Office of Legislative Services forecasted that the state will collect $1.1 billion less in taxes than the Christie administration had predicted, and his $34 billion budget proposal will have a $487 million shortfall. The Christie administration will now have to scramble to find $487 million before the 2015-16 fiscal year ends June 30th, and NJ.com reported that there's little left in the Treasury this late in the fiscal year. The OLS is scheduled to testify testify before the Assembly Budget Committee on Wednesday about the proposed 2016-17 $34.8 billion budget, which is supposed to take effect on July 1st. The news comes as a Pew Charitable Trust Fiscal 50 report put New Jersey among the nation's most indebted states across several categories. New Jersey ranks third worst in total debt, as well as third worst in both unfunded pension and unfunded retiree health care costs. New Jersey ranked third in total debt with more than $35 billion, followed by California with, or leading the list was California with $94 billion and New York at $63 billion. In the memo, a copy of which was also obtained by the Record newspaper, a budget analyst wrote that OLS had lowered its two-year revenue estimate by $943 million for the current fiscal year and fiscal year 2017, which begins in July. This estimate was made after measuring tax collection for the important spring filing season, according to the Record. Almost all, or 93%, can be ascribed to the recent performance of the gross income tax, wrote Catherine Brennan, an OLS analyst, in the Record report. Christie reduced pension payments by billions over the last 2 years to balance state budgets, prompting an outcry from public unions who say the governor reneged on his first-term pledge to fund the pension system. So, a whole lot going on in Trenton today, and I don't think I'd want to be a part of it. There was a lot of outcry a couple of years ago from teachers unions and other state unions about how he was cutting the pensions or not funding the pensions. It's a problem today, but it's only going to get worse because at some point when people retire and they start trying to tap into these benefits, they may not be there. So I think we have a larger crisis looming. And I don't think all the blame has to go on Chris Christie's shoulders. You know, we've had governors in the past, Governor Whitman and McGreevy and others who have borrowed money or made concessions or given money to developers, and then, you know, all of a sudden we have this $1 billion debt. That could have all been eliminated because we really needed a $300 million tunnel in Atlantic City to join the marina when the casinos at the time could have paid for that in a daily windfall. How about you as a small business owner, you as a person working in a small business, and the times when you let your own personal beliefs, policies, or even politics come in contact with the public that you're serving? I often caution people, and I tell my staff, don't start talking politics with people unless you've really known them forever. You know, you're not going to start talking politics. You shouldn't bring up, you know, the taboo subject of religion. You shouldn't bring that up. I even warn my staff, like, even though your daughter goes to 100 Central, don't wear a 100 Central t-shirt, because if someone comes in from a rival school, already there's an animosity, you know, built in. So those are the types of things where you kind of have to be Switzerland and be neutral. But now in 2016, I think it's going to go down in history as the year that America's corporate leaders became social activists, and it's a break from the neutral position that big business leaders traditionally take in regard to non-economic policy issues. Nearly 200 C-level executives and company founders signed a letter condemning North Carolina's transgender bathroom law in March. CEOs for Apple, PayPal, Salesforce, Walmart, Dow Chemical, IBM, General Electric, and Bank of America are among those who have publicly objected to state laws curbing LGBT discrimination protections. Fortune 500 CEOs have challenged legislators in Indiana, Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi, and other states where laws allowing LGBT discrimination on religious grounds have been passed or proposed since 2015. Our jobs as CEOs now include driving what we think is right, Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan told the Wall Street Journal. It's not exactly political activism, but it is an action on issues beyond business. So Manta asked business owners, as a small business owner, do you make your political social views known to your customers, employees, or suppliers? 34% said they do not. 66% said yes, they do. Small business owners have greater liberty to declare their social values through their companies, and roughly a third of them do. According to the new Manta survey on political expression among small business owners, as I mentioned, 34% of small business owners say they make their political views known to their customers, employees, or suppliers, and those who do so for a variety of reasons. Most small business owners who are open about their social political views said they feel a responsibility to promote positive values in their communities. Having a business that reflects their values was another strong motivator. They also reported that customers and employees reacted positively to their political views. That's the big question. Is a leader's social activism good or bad for business? Walmart customers threatened boycotts on social media after CEO Doug McMillon lobbied against Arkansas's religious freedom bill. On the flip side, a recent study showed consumers who shared Apple CEO Tim Cook's support of gay rights were more likely to consider buying Apple products because of his activism. So as the question was then asked, as a small business owner, why do you make your political and social views public? The first category, or first answer, was to promote positive values in my community. 65% of small business owners answered positively that that's why they do it. 64% said they want my business to reflect my values. 31% said that it's because customers react positively when they know where you stand. 27% said that employees react more positively when they know where you stand. And 11% said they don't want to work with people whose values that they object to. And then, you know, there was issues a few years ago with Hobby Lobby. I just recently found out and didn't know this, so I'm pleading ignorance until my wife corrected me on it. But Chick-fil-A is not open on Sundays because the founders of Chick-fil-A are very religious people and they believe that you should not work on Sunday. But we go to great lengths to maintain our political neutrality in everything, said Steve Wood, who's the founder and CEO of Atlas Mobile Technologies, which is a Delaware-based company making a mobile app that tracks state law changes. Now, since the launch of their product has extremely broad appeal, we don't want to polarize ourselves, said Wood. By maintaining neutrality, we've accumulated followers and interest from both sides of the spectrum. Zandra Wilson, owner of Blue Skincare, a California-based organic skincare products manufacturer, said she is very vocal about her social and political views. I post Bible verses to my social media page, or I will say God bless you on invoices. I have been vocal speaking out against Donald Trump because I feel he would be a horrible president, said Wilson, who is proud that her customers know her values. I am a Christian business owner and operator, or I operate under Christian biblical values. Well, what about you and your business? Are you out there talking about your religious beliefs, your cultural beliefs, things like that, phobias or anything else? Do you support LGBT? If you were suddenly forced to either create a bathroom or allow a bathroom to be transgender, would you do it? Is it an issue in your business? I think that's something that over time we're all going to be having to take a look at. It's currently 12:43. I'm going to step away, get the break out of the way early, and then when I come back, 10 things that you're doing, and you may not even realize it, that could be killing sales. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a
friend. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join us for another edition of TCOB. It's a beautiful day. Get outside and enjoy it. Now, I warned you. I told you. I said this years ago, and nobody listened to me. And now it's come true. When I first started this show, I was kind of tapping into my recruiting background and letting people know good interview skills, things you should and shouldn't do, things you should and shouldn't say. Well, now the federal government is taking it one step further. And if you recall, the longtime listeners of the show, you remember we've had a couple of stories about how employers could be asking you for your Facebook passwords, LinkedIn passwords, so they can do a deeper dive, look at your photographs, look at your history, and see what you're all about outside of the office. Well, now the feds are saying that they're going to check your social media history before granting any security clearances. So I think the example I gave was if you're going for a job and every picture in your Facebook page that is posted about you shows you holding the red Solo cup with the glassy eyes, you know, everybody drinking beers, you know, PBRs all over the place, playing beer pong, you know, that may not be what you want to be remembered for. That may not be what you want the hiring authority to think of you. Whether you produce well on the job or not, it's a whole picture that they're trying to assemble about you. But a new policy is granting federal agencies access to a person's social media history without conducting background checks as part of the security clearance process. The wide-ranging set of rules are set to be implemented soon. The government has confirmed that it will start targeting social media posts by prospective employees as part of its review process for security clearance. The new policy, which will allow investigators to scan an applicant's history on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and other similar sites, will be adopted soon, according to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. The guidelines make clear that agencies can target publicly available social media posts if they deem it necessary, but cannot force individuals to hand over their passwords for private accounts or provide pseudonyms for any profiles. Additionally, the policy states that social media information gathered as part of a background check will not be retained unless it is considered relevant to the security status of the person in question. In certain cases, the ODNI's new rules would also permit agencies to pursue an applicant's associates or friends if mentioned in a suspicious social media post that suggests a possible national security concern. Social media has become an integral and very public part of the fabric of most Americans' daily lives, says Bill Avenina, who's the director of ODNI's National Counterintelligence and Security Center. We cannot afford to ignore this important open source in our effort to safeguard our secrets and our nation's security. Officials believe that adding social media to the security review process could offer important information when deciding whether an individual can be trusted with secret information. The procedure often involves agencies attempting to determine the factors in a person's background that could make them a target of blackmail. Little to no detail has been given regarding the types of social media posts that could be flagged during the procedure. However, Avenina has suggested that social media threats made against the president, for example, would definitely be retained by investigators, reports the Wall Street Journal. The debate over the use of social media and background checks by the federal government has been raging for several years, with Congress pushing the case in favor of the new policy. The budget deal passed in December 2015, requiring the ODNI to allow military and intelligence agencies to strengthen their security reviews and specifically cited the need to evaluate social media posts. Although lawmakers from both parties agree on the new policy, privacy advocates claim they will be watching closely to see if the government targets information they consider to be constitutionally protected as free speech. No specific date has been issued for the policy's implementation, but the ODNI promises it will be taken up shortly. So, again, what you say, what you do, and especially in today's world where once it's out on the internet, it's there forever. How many times have we seen that a movie star has said something on Instagram, Snapchat or something, they deleted the post, but somebody had already copied it and now they're retweeting it or something like that. So you want to be very careful on social media, particularly if you're going after any government clearance. I've also said on this program several times, don't think for a second that if you're applying for a job at any company in America, they're not already checking you out on Facebook before you get to your car in the parking lot. Well, now that you're going for that new job, there's 10 things that you could be doing that could be killing sales for you and need to stop that immediately. And here's how we're going to do that. So the question is, could you be your own worst enemy when it comes to closing the sale? So see if you're guilty of any of the habits that I'm about to list that could be killing your sales efforts. Now, so many of us can go through our work days employing the same techniques and tactics that we always have without taking a step back and considering whether what we're doing is effective. And it turns out that many of us can accidentally sabotage our sales efforts, and all that may be required to shore up our strategies is to rid ourselves of those bad habits. The first one is focusing on yourself. Now, you know just how important every sale is to your company. Whether the next prospect means being able to make rent that month or puts you over the top on a sales goal. But the hard truth is that your customer probably doesn't care about you or your company. If your sales pitch focuses on anything other than the customer's wants and needs, you're likely starting off on the wrong foot. Number two, do you talk too much? You have two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should listen twice as much as you speak. One of my favorite interview challenges when I'm looking for an employee is to place a pen on the table between us and tell the rep to sell me the pen. What happens most of the time is the ref blabs on and on about how great the pen is, but the most effective strategy is so much simpler. Great salespeople will simply ask, "Do you need a pen?" If you're talking about things that don't matter to your prospect, you may just be making noise. Number three, you never ask questions. Now, here's a secret. If you're asking the questions, you're likely in control of the conversation. If you ask the right questions and you listen carefully, your prospects may tell you everything you need to do to land them as customers and absolutely wow them. Find out what your prospect wants and then give it to them. Number four, and a lot of people are guilty as charged on this one, overselling. Oftentimes, sales reps have a big presentation planned, and sooner than expected, the prospect agrees. The savvy sales rep would shut up and just close the deal. However, many sales reps continue to make the pitch, continuing to extol the virtues of the product or their company, and that can actually backfire, though, as consumers don't like to feel pressured or overwhelmed. You can actually lose a sale if you keep hammering a prospect with features and benefits after they've decided to buy, so know when to stop selling. And number five, you could be pitching the wrong person. Now, it may not matter how brilliant you are at sales or how great your service is. If you're not in front of the decision maker, don't waste your time in hopes that the person you're pitching to will go sell for you. That's very unlikely to happen. Get to the person who matters. Number six, stating rather than demonstrating your credibility. Whenever possible, you should show rather than tell, and credibility is no exception. Rather than telling your prospect that you have 1,000 satisfied customers, provide your customer with 1,000 testimonials. Unless you provide evidence to support your claims, you can run the risk of appearing untrustworthy. Number seven, failing to speak your customer's language. Now, making a pitch to a general audience can be tough. A much better strategy may be to narrow your focus and learn the language and features that speak to your targeted audience. Using the lingo that matters to your prospects can make you stand out from the crowd and encourage prospects to accept you as one of them. Number eight, making yourself unavailable. Now, some mistakes are fixable, but if a prospective client reaches out to you to ask for an appointment or a quote and you fail to deliver, then you're probably sunk. Your responsibility is to be responsive and available when your client needs you. Number nine, failing to show respect. Whether it's showing up on time for an appointment, dressing appropriately, or simply saying thank you, don't ever miss a chance to show your respect for your client's time and business. When you send a message that you don't respect your customers, you may soon discover just how many of your competitors will happily take those customers off your hands. And number 10, don't be needy. Perhaps the single biggest turnoff may be the salesperson who begs for the sale. Your salespeople should not be asking a customer to part with hard-earned money just so they can hit a quota or win a Salesperson of the Year award. Don't forget that success breeds success, and if you appear desperate, you are likely not making an effective sales pitch. So if I had to sum up my very best sales advice in just a few words, it would be simply ask questions and take notes. If you focus your sales presentations on meeting or exceeding your prospects' needs, you may be far more successful and your customers may be far more satisfied. So make sure that you take all of that into consideration the next time that you're out there making a sales call. All right. Got time for one more story. It's 12:55. Five mistakes that are blocking your success, not just in sales, but anywhere. Now, sometimes you just need to get out of your own way. Success in both life and business revolves around your ability to effectively communicate, inspire, and work with other people. But those are no easy tasks, and it can be difficult to know where to start in attempting to improve yourself in those areas.
Start unlocking your true potential by fixing these five tiny mistakes that everyone is guilty of making. Number one, you don't write good emails. Everyone appreciates an email that is to the point and doesn't waste time. But all too often, people think that that gives them an excuse to use improper punctuation in short, choppy sentences. This leads to confusion, and you run the risk of sounding disrespectful, curt, and unprofessional. There's a way to write efficiently and still be polite, clear, and eloquent. When writing emails, you should always have a polite greeting that uses the name of the person you're writing to. Organize your points by importance and use proper punctuation and sentence structure. And as we get into the millennial generation, that's going to become even more and more important as time goes on. Number two, you don't speak well in public. Speaking in front of your peers can be frightening and cause you to use phrases that make you sound less confident. The best way to combat your nerves is to practice your remarks and internalize your presentations as much as possible. Number three, you're simply not energetic enough. Your superiors and customers want you to be excited and energetic about working with them. If you become apathetic or low energy in your career, people will take notice. So practice smiling, using hand gestures, and bringing more energy and excitement into your meetings. Number four, you're not agreeable enough. In business and in life, you need to know when to choose your battles. Not every decision or meeting needs a dissenting view. Sometimes nodding politely, smiling, and not making waves is the best thing to do for your relationship and your career. This doesn't mean that you have to be your company's doormat or not speak your mind. This is simply a word of caution about being perceived as prone to disagreements. If your reputation in the office is that you tend to unnecessarily disagree, then when your opinions are valid and needed during a discussion, you won't be taken seriously. And number five, you're too cynical. People like being around people who make them feel good. If you're typically the one in the room that points out why everyone should be less excited or happy about something, stop doing that. It should be your goal to make sure that your peers, superiors, and customers want to be around you and seek out your opinions. If you're too negative or too cynical, they'll seek counsel elsewhere, and you're missing out on important opportunities to show your value. In sports, in NASCAR news, Matt Kenseth fought off a hard-charging Kyle Larson to win the AAA Drive for Autism race last week at Dover International Speedway. This week, the teams are in Charlotte, North Carolina on Friday night for the Sprint Showdown and on Saturday for the Sprint All-Star Race. In golf, Jason Day won the Players Championship last weekend. In the NHL, in the Eastern Conference Finals, Pittsburgh holds a 2-1 series lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning. And in the Western Conference, St. Louis is tied with San Jose in that series, one game apiece. In the NBA, in the Eastern Conference Finals, Cleveland leads Toronto 1-0. And in the Western Conference, Golden State is tied with the Thunder in that series, also one game apiece. In Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Orioles, White Sox, and Mariners lead their divisions, while the National League, it's the Nationals, Cubs, and Giants leading their divisions. Good news, it is the third week of May, and the Philadelphia Phillies have a .585 winning percentage. They're in second place in their division, just a half game back, and they have not been mathematically eliminated yet. It's shocking, I know. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best," just like Morley Safer used to do. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I am Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I'll be taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Is about sort of a twisted, grandiose fantasy, self-admiration belief system, but it's a personality disorder, so it goes deeper than just a belief system. Now, I describe personality disorders in this way. And it's a simplified way. I get that. However, I think it can really help somebody understand what I'm saying. Because when we have a personality disorder, we generally don't notice it. If I have a narcissistic personality disorder, and there are about 9 of them altogether, but if I had a personality disorder, like we hear of borderline personality disorder and antisocial personality disorder, which is not about somebody who wants to